Good evening, Rav Osai. Tonight's shiur is a little bit of a different kind of topic, and we're going to go about it in a little bit of a different kind of way. And you'll see as we go why that is. So the title that I titled the shiur is Kezias, which we know what that is, Minhag versus Empiricism. We're going to see why this issue is uniquely a function of empiricism. Empiricism is creating knowledge and discovering knowledge through experiments. And we're going to see that we're going to have one mahalach of what a kezias is based on what the minhag has been for all generations. And then all of a sudden, at some point in the 1700s, there's going to come a blast in the sugya based on empirical evidence, based on experiments that will change the course of history till today. And the question is, which one will we follow? That will be the goal that we'll hopefully build up towards when we get to the main points, which will be at the end of this evening's discussion. So just to appreciate the significance of the Kezias, when the Eretz Yisrael is called, the Shev is Nishtabeach by the Shuas Haminim, so it's described as, of course, Eretz Zeis Shemen. And what does it mean that the land is a Zeis Shemen? Comments the Gemara in Erevin and in Brachos and in Sukkah, Eretz Sherov Shiureha Kezesim. The land where we do mitzvos, most of its shiurim are a kezias. So a kezias is a significant shiur. I have some olives on display. I will have to figure out if those are the olives, that we're going to be being Meshayer. So the question that we have to figure out is, when we have our matzah in a few weeks, when we have our maror in a few weeks, is it really true that all I have to do is eat the size of that little olive? That little olive is something like 5 cc's. Maybe 6 cc's. The kezesim that most of us are going to be aiming towards are probably closer to 30 cc's. 5 times the size of those olives. I remember once when I was in Keren B'Yavne, and they had a dish, you know, a very Eretz Yisrael dish. The main course for lunch was olives and a tomato sauce. And I was trying to be half funny but half serious. Rav Schechter happened to be giving a visiting shiur that day. We were actually very fortunate that Rav Schechter will be our guest speaker this Shabbos morning. He'll be speaking here. So Schechter was there for lunch, and as he was walking out, I said, Rebbe, how many of these olives is a kezias? So I meant it half in jest, but half in seriousness. And we'll see. His answer for right now is not what we're going towards, but we'll see what the answers could or should be. I want to start with a very unusual Mishnah in a very unusual place. Mishnah Kalim, Perek Yud Zayin. When we think of shiurim, the whole point of a shiur, the whole point of a measurement, presumably, is to have a reference point, an amas hamida, a way of defining something with an absolute measure. Look at this Mishnah, and you'll see that the concept of measurements, by definition, is not absolute, which is against the entire Western way, the way we generally understand what the point of measurements are. In fact, when you talk about measurements in a scientific way, they're so carefully defined as they count the number of vibrations of certain atoms, certain frequencies of certain atoms, just to get the absolute precise, immutable, unchangeable, under every circumstance that could be considered, they want it to be absolute. Look at this Mishnah. Kebeitza Sha'amru, how do we define the shear of a kebeitza? We're going to see soon what the relationship between a kezias and a kebeitza is. Well, what is a kebeitza? Kebeitza Sha'amru, lo gdola v'lo ktana. We're not talking about a big egg, we're not talking about a small egg. Ela beinonis, an average egg. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, how do you figure out? That's one opinion. The first Tanakhama says an average egg. Rabbi Yehuda has something a little bit more scientific. He says, maybe gdola shebe gdolos. You give the biggest egg you could find. Uktana shebe ktanos. And you find the smallest egg you could find. V'nos in the soch hamayim. And you do a displacement test. V'cholakes hamayim. And whatever amount is displaced by the largest and the smallest, you divide that in two. Which is sort of funny, because that doesn't give you an average egg. That just gives you the median egg. There's a difference between median and average. So it's funny that that's how the Rav Yossi is considering a, Rav Yehuda is considering a Beinonis. That's what, how he defines Beinonis. Interesting. Rav Yossi argues and says, how do you know which is the biggest, which is the smallest? And look at these next four words. These next four words are the most striking words that we'll do, we'll see the entire evening. Well, because we're defining what is a shear of an egg, what is a shear of a kibetza, says the Mishnah, Hakol lefi daito shel roa. It's relative. It depends on who's looking at it. If you consider this to be a normal egg, thus is a normal egg. That's the most unusual definition of a shear you might ever imagine. Because it's defining a shear by your perception. I think this, in my eyes, this is a normal egg. So for me, that's a kibitza. And for you, you think that's small. If you would eat that amount on whenever it would be also eat a kibitza or something like that, or a din of kibitza would be applicable, so that's not a kibitza. It depends on the person. That's very... how do you have a shear that depends on daito sharoa?
Would it matter if the egg is from chicken, turkey, or goose?
Yeah, I think that's what the question is. I think we're talking about a chicken egg. Yeah, we're talking about a chicken egg. Continues the Mishnah in Kelim. Kezayis Shamru, which Zayis are we speaking of? Now, if you go to the Shuk in Machane Yehuda, you know that they have those jumbo, the biggest ones in America are called super colossal. That's the largest egg. And then you have the smaller ones. Which ones are the definition of a Kezayis? Kezayis Shamru, lo gadol, not the biggest ones. Velo katan, ela beinoni, which is aguri. There were about three, from what I understand, the scientists say, I read an article about this. There were three common species of olives in ancient Israel. And one of them, I guess, was the aguri olive. And that aguri olive is what we're talking about, what we're calling the Beinoni. That's an average size olive. The middle size olive is the kezayis that we're speaking of. If we stop at this Mishnah, so the Mishnah is telling us, how big is a kibetza? A kibetza is an average beitza, two ways to measure it. And what's a kezayis? An average kezayis, an average zayis. Not the biggest zayis, not the biggest brand of zayis, but an average of the various options in the, available in the shuk, the middle size. That would be the definition of a zayis. Okay, that's the psak of the Mishnah. The Sefer Eshkol, one of the Rishonim, quotes an interesting tshuva from the Gaonim. Listen to what the Gaonim say, because it's really going to fly in the face of what some contemporary poskim suggest. Uvishelu Rav Shira b'hai lishna. Rav Shira Gaon was asked the following question and responded the following way. Rav Shira Gaon points out that the Shiurim, they had ways to measure in the olden days. In the ancient world, they had measurements. They had measurements based on coins, which is how Rishonim measure certain weights. This is a certain amount of silver, the amount of this coin or that coin. And the Mishnayos could have defined the halachas of eating a certain amount of food by, and not kezayis, not kibetza, but rather by much more precise. Because you see how imprecise we are. We're so imprecise that it depends on the person who's eating the food. It's average, depends on the person. Asks the Shirgon, have a yon, the she'ela ela shir mishkal kesef. They don't have a precise, definitive, absolute measurement as the weight of the silver, loba mishnah, loba talmud, shalom kolikar. If you look in the Mishnah of the Talmud, you will not find precise measurements which were available in that time. Ve'ilu bikshu, and if they really wanted, lase shir mishkal min hadinarim, they could have said, this is, you know, all the dinarim in the ancient world were a certain amount of weight. They could have said, if you eat, you know, 3.2 dinarim of apples shel truma, you get chayav misa or something like that. El shenosnu hashur mikitnis uperos shemetsuyin tamid. Chazal, in their infinite wisdom, chose to give us what as our measurement, as our reference points? Specifically chose to give us fruit. Why?
I don't know what a dinar is, but I know what an olive is.
Because, and as history unfolds itself, 1,000 years later, we might not have the same dinarim that they had once, but eggs are eggs, and olives are olives. What do you see from this Chuvas HaGaonim? Something very clear. Not only that the size of the olive is constant throughout history. Not only is the size of the beitza constant throughout history, but the whole point that Chazal said that we should measure our measurements based on an olive and based on an egg is only because they are constants. That's the whole idea of a shear, is that you should have a reference point that every Jew in all of the world, wherever they will find themselves, obviously there are going to be different types of olives in different type parts of the world.
But why not olives? Why specifically
egg? So that's the amount. That's the shear that is the significant shear that we have to know about. That we that's the amount. It's nothing to do with an olive. It has to be to do that is the size of what the Torah considers an issa d'oraisa for eating chazer. It happens to be, let's look in the natural world, it happens to be an olive matches that amount. So
well,
therefore,
having picked up specifically egg, if they could have picked up olive, I mean, olive is also...
Yes, yeah, some halachas are an egg, some halachas are an olive size. It depends which halacha.
Some things... size?
And the Mishnah is telling us to use an average olive. Yeah.
You know what the average olive is?
Yeah. So we see two sources. First, the Mishnah says things are relative. The Sefer Eshkol says that we follow the fruits because that's what that is something that will be constant. With that in mind, we'll sort of see some interesting things that may or may not fit with these ideas that we just put forth. Let's just try to figure out, so how big is an olive? How big is a kezias when we want to figure out how kezias is? So we have a number of opinions in the Rishonim, and I'll present two, I'll mention a third. The Rashba, which is the smallest extreme, says the following. Source number four, the Rashba says, I'm just going to ask you to put on your math hats before you read these five words. Chameshes rei beitzim, shehin harbe mishishim zeisim. 15 eggs is much more than 60 olives. Again, 15 eggs is much more than 60 olives. That means that it's at least... an olive is at most one quarter of an egg. It could be smaller, there could be more than 60 olives and 15 eggs, but at most, at least there are 60 olives and 15 eggs. That means an olive is at most a quarter of an egg. So picture in your mind an egg, and divide it into a quarter, and that would be the largest size that a kezias could be. Let's see Tosfos. Tosfos is going to say something very different. I'm reading, I cut and pasted like words from this Tosfos just to make the point that we need to put to get. I'm reading Biyuma, Debeis HaBli Machzis Kebeitzas Tarnagolas. There's a tradition in the Gemara that when you swallow something, how big is the human trachea? I'm sorry, how big is the human, the food pipe? Trachea. No, the trachea is esophagus. Thank you. How big is the human esophagus? So the Gemara says it's big enough that it could hold, it's wide enough that it could swallow an egg, a whole egg.
Is that a great egg or a jumbo?
A medium. Like the first source. So you came a minute late. That was the source we saw in source number two. Said mediums. So let's assume medium would be large, I guess. That's our assume.
But how many more medium eggs would be with large eggs?
That could be. I don't know. Medium, I don't know. So, listen to what Tosfos says. We have a Gemara that tells us that the esophagus could swallow a whole egg. And look at the other Gemara. Tosfos is going to throw it together. But Mina Beperek, whatever, increases. To Ein Beis Habliya, it's also talking about the width of the esophagus, how much it could swallow, that it can't swallow Yosem Mishnei Zesim. It can't swallow more than two kezesim simultaneously. So if one Gemara that says that it could handle an egg, and one Gemara says it can't handle two kezesim, then how much is a kezias? Half an egg. That's not like the Rashba. The Rashba said that a quarter of an egg is a kezias. Here Tosfos is saying a half an egg is a kezias. You realize what we just did? Between the Tosfos and this Rashba, we're not talking about a tiny different, tiny percentage. We're talking about 100% of an argument. If, let's say, 10 cc's according to the Rashba, it's going to be 20 cc's according to Tosfos. What I don't have here is a sheet of the Rambam. The Rambam says that an egg is one third of an egg. So basically, we just presented three opinions. The Rashba is the smallest, a quarter of an egg. The Tosis is the biggest shear, which is a half an egg. And the Rambam is in the middle, a third of an egg. The Shulchan Aruch actually says the two, not doesn't mention the Rashba, the smallest shear, suggests these. Actually, let's look at the Shulchan Aruch in source number 6. It's a very interesting siman that I did not know exist until I researched this sugya. You know the name of the siman? The name of the siman, you have just about the entire siman in your text right in front of you. It's about 11 words long. The name of the siman is the size of a kezias, which is very apropos because we spend so much time and energy on Lo Pesach figuring out how big a matzah, how much matzah to eat and how much mar to eat. So it's nice to know there's a whole siman in the Shulchan Aruch that says, this is the size of a kezias. Tells us the Shulchan Aruch, shir kezias, funny lashon. Yesh omrim dehavi kechatzi beitza. Stop. That's the end of the Shulchan Aruch. That's the whole siman. That was very unusual. The Shulchan Aruch is bringing how many opinions? How many opinions did the Shulchan Aruch bring? I quoted the whole thing. One opinion. And what does he start with? Yesh omrim. So that's an interesting thing. What does the Shulchan Aruch mean when he brings one opinion, but he says it as a yesh omrim? Is he trying to hint to you that there's another opinion, but we don't paskin like it? So this is something that the poskim discuss. What is the Shulchan Aruch? But either way, the Shulchan Aruch holds that. You see, the Shulchan Aruch holds that a kezias is half of an olive, half of an egg. Not like the Rashba, not like the Rambam, but rather poskim like Tosfos that you have half an egg. So let's assume that an egg is, I saw in the literature they had all these measurements in cc's. I think we assume an egg is about 30 cc's or is it 60 cc's? What?
Feels like
60. A can of soda is 120 milliliters, right? Is that correct? What's a can of soda?
You mean 340
milliliters? Oh, it's 340 milliliters? Okay, so I'm wrong. Okay, so I don't want to throw out numbers.
A glass of soda is 200
milliliters? I don't want to throw out numbers if I'm not sure. So either way, that's what the shear is, half a kibetza. Really, the shear could end right now, and we found out what the psak is. You have an egg, a normal egg, an average egg. Cut it in half. That's a kezias. That seems to be what the Gaonim said, based on, Tosfos among the Rishonim. And how should I eat that kezias, that half an egg? So the Rama adds at the end of 6, which is not our topic, v'yochlenu biyachad v'lo ma'at ma'at. When we say that you should eat your kezias of matzah, your kezias of mar, it doesn't mean you should take bites and a little bit 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 to amalgamate, to equal an entire kezias. It means you should have a kezias in one fell swoop. Now keep in mind, those people who are super frum, who have large shiurim, and then they chew, until their mouth is a good brisker chumra, that some people will say will lead to kula. So there's a brisker chumra that based on this Rama, that you want to swallow it all at once, right? You want to swallow the kezias at once. So we saw before that a kezias should be half of your esophagus. It should be easily. You should be able to swallow half a kezias easily. Brisker chumra, they have a gigantic shear, and they chew the matzah in their mouth till their mouth is just about exploding. When they can't hold any more, matzah in their mouth, they go, they try to swallow the whole thing at once, and hopefully they remain conscious. If they do, then they pat themselves on the back that they swallowed a whole shear of a kezias in one gulp, based on this Rama. So I think there's a line that I heard from Shlomo Zalman who pointed out that that's not normal achila. So you sort of, no, that's not normal eating. The mitzvah of the night is to eat matzah. You didn't do what the Torah says. So your chumra was the kula. So that's Shlomo Zalman's comment on that interesting chumra. But either way, the Rama does say that you should eat it together, not just a bite and then swallow, bite and then swallow, bite and swallow, till you get a full kezias. You should eat it all together. Fine. Okay. Meaning in a swallowing. What?
I'm sorry to interrupt you for the sake of the Seder. Practically speaking, what is kezias in terms of matzah?
So we'll have to get there. We'll have to get there if we do.
Why is it not a derech hakila?
Because nobody eats with chewing huge amounts, and then when they're finished chewing huge amounts, go ahead. What?
You chew it and then you swallow it.
Right, but you don't have huge amounts that are stored in your cheeks and then swallowed all in one gigantic gulp, which is not how normal people eat.
Right.
I'm talking about large, you know, somebody who's trying to do a large quantity. Okay, so this is the first part of the shiur. This is what should be, and we just learned the dina of the Shulchan Aruch. This is the dina of the Shulchan Aruch, that a kezias is half of an egg. So figure out what an egg is. Half of an egg, that's your kezias, and we finished for the night. So how much matzah should I eat, how much marah should I eat, the size of half of an egg. Okay. Now, you have to figure out what an egg is. I don't have the numbers on me. And
In volume,
yes. All Ashkenazim, the halachas of Shiurim are all in volume. They're not mishkol, they're all volume. You can look up what, you know, the Chazon Ish or whoever. Don't look up Chazon Ish. Look up Ruchaim Noah. You can Google Chaim Noah, Shir of Kibetza. And tell me how many cc's it is. And well, half of that is a kezias. But now the fun is going to begin. The fun begins with a discussion of mikvaos. Imagine that. We're talking about matzah mara, and we're going to jump to mikvaos. Why is mikvah? Look at what the Gemara says in Chagiga, source number 7, the Chagiga Daf Yir Aleph. The Gemara makes a drasha. The Torah regarding mikvah says, V'rachat says, kol b'saro, that means it has to be enough water to enclose, to encapsulate, to envelop kol b'saro, the entire human flesh, all at once. You can't stick one part of your body and then stick another part of your body. Like when you kasher kelim, for example, when you kasher a pot, when you kasher a ladle that's long and doesn't fit in the pot of boiling water all at once, you can stick in one half, then stick in the other half. You could kasher one half of a pot, then kasher another half of a pot. That's okay. But when you do tevila in a mikvah, we learn from this pasuk that it has to be all at once. And just like the tevila has to be all at once, the amount of water has to be enough water to contain the entire human body all at once. That's what we learn from the pasuk. It's kol b'saro mayim shekol gufa olaban. V'kamahein, how much water contain is the shear of a mikvah, and how much water is the amount that holds an entire body, and therefore will be the shear of a mikvah? Says the Gemara, a measurement that is not in volume, but is in length. An amma length by an amma width, the room with the height of shalosh amas. So that's in linear measurement. And v'shiyah ruch hachamim, continues the Gemara, that the Gemara extrapolated that linear measurement to be equal to a certain amount of volume. Me mikvah is arba'im sa'a. Sa'a is a volumetric measure, volumetric unit. So we have an equation that 3 cubic amos, an amma by an amma brum, shalosh amos is 3 cubic amos. 3 cubic amos equals arba'im sa'a. Now, what's an amma? How many tefachim is an amma? An amma is 6 tefachim. So we assume an amma is 6 tefachim. That means if I tell you that an amma by an amma, barum shalosh amos, is 40 saw, what I'm saying is that 6 tefachim by 6 tefachim at the height of 18 tefachim, 6 times 3 is 18, right? Is equivalent to 40 saw. Well, if you break down how much within a tefach, what do you have in a tefach? You have a certain amount of agudlim, etzbos, which is the thicknesses of a thumb. Let's say this is my tefach. So I have about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 thumb worths in each of my tefachim. So we could do math. We're not going to go through the math. If you look at the Rashbam on this Gemara, there's a very, very, very long Rashbam who shows you the math why these linear measurements of amma by amma by 3 ammas high is the same as 40 ammas in width. I just want to go on a tangent, by the way. There's a connection. We just finished Purim. There's a connection between this shiur and Purim. Not because of Mishloach Manos, you have to have a kezias, but rather because there is a fascinating targum. The targum talks about Aseres B'nei Haman hanging on the tree that's 50 ammas tall that Haman set up to kill Mordechai. Now, did they all hang up at the same time, or did they hang up one after the other? So the Targum describes in vivid detail how you have a one string hanging down, maybe it's 10 strings, You have one gigantic gallows, 50 amas high, and simultaneously, you have the 10 sons of Haman hanging. And listen to what the Targum says. I didn't find it; it wasn't available online, but I read it in the original. You know, you have it in the Megillas Esther. The Targum says like this: they had a string 50 amas high, going down to the floor. The first few amas from off the floor there was no one hanging. Then there was one of the sons of hanging. He took up 3 amas of height. Then you had half an amma of empty space on the string, and hanging down next was another one of the sons, Vaizasa, I don't know, then Dalphon, then Aspasa. It says exactly who was hung where, at which height, 3 ammas per person, times plus half an amma for space in between, so that each person was a 3 ammas plus a half an amma of empty space, and there was some empty space on top and on bottom, and it describes in detail, vivid detail, exactly how the 10 sons of Haman were hung from these gallows. How tall is a person? Well, based on what I just told you, it's 3 amos, and based on what the Gemara just said, right? You need enough water that contains a human being, which is an amma by an amma by 3 amos high, right? Look at the second Tosis in source number 8. First of all, it's interesting, the first Tosis in source number 8, in Gemara and Chagiga, the Tosis on Chagiga Yid Aleph points out that when we say that a person is an amma by amma, right, that's pretty chunky. Is an amma by an amma, it's pretty chunky. I guess it depends who. Says Tosis, that's talking about with his clothing. Interesting. Okay, fine. And what about this 3 ammas high? He asks Tosis Akasha, I thought people are really 4 ammas tall. Because we know when we have certain burial spots, burial setups, kuchen, which were certain burial mausoleums, that they had to be 4 amos to contain the height of a person. How can you tell me that a person is only 3 amos high? Tosis gives a fascinating answer. He says, really, if you measure a person without their head from their necks down, they're 3 amos. The head does add a few inches, but you could just, when you're in the water, you tilt your head. Meaning, when you go into a mikveh has to be 3 amos high. It doesn't mean that you're standing straight vertically from floor till, you know, toes till head, top of the head. It means you're in the mikveh and you're bending down. That's how you get 3 amos. But really, a person is more than 3 amos. So by the way, when that Targum said that the men were hung and they took up 3 amos of height of the string in the gallows, where was the additional inches for their head?
In between.
So somebody suggested to me that maybe there were no heads to speak of. They were all killed, right? How do you think they were killed? Could be they were beheaded. So there were no heads. So there's just the 3 amas of their torso, of their feet and torso, without any heads to be worried about. That could be. Something to think about, don't know. Okay. Now, we're almost up to the punchline, and we're not going to do the math, because the math is very complicated. Maybe Rabbi Fine could, you know, make it through this, the math in that Gemara in Chagiga, as my esteemed algebra teacher. But the Gemara in Pesachim says the follows. Based on these numbers that we just said, that you have a certain amount of linear measurement is equal to a certain amount of volume, a certain amount of amos will equal a certain amount of sav of the volume of the mikvah. Amar Rav Chista, how big is my cup of wine? My cup of wine is a revius. How big is a revius? So what are we looking for? A revius is what kind of measurement? It's a volume. And look how he's going to describe the volume. Revius shel Torah is etzba'ayim al etzba'ayim. 2 fingers high, maybe 2 thumbs high, fine. By 2 fingers, etzba'ayim, by 2 fingers wide, at a height of, etzba'ayim v'chatzi etzba, 2 fingers and a half a finger, which is 2.5, and a chomesh etzba. 1/2 and 1/5 added together is 7/10. I did the math for you, don't worry about it. So it's 2 etzbos times 2 etzbos wide and long by 2.7 tvachim high, 2.7 etzbos high. And that will be the shir of a Revius. That's the shir of a Kiddush cup. And how do we know that? Continues the Gemara. Look at this. It's incredible. This is where the long Rashbam is, which I'm not going to go through. Kedistania, and I'll prove to you, Rachatz b'mayim shekol b'sro, mayim shekol gufo, ola behem, it's 40 sa, mikveh is 40 sa. From the fact that a mikveh is 40 sa, and you know how many reviuses are in a sa, which is a lot of math, you could figure out how big a revius is. That's what the Gemara tells you. So you see the Gemara is trying to figure out for you, telling you that you could figure out the size, the volume of a revius, based on the length and width of a mikveh. Now, we're going to switch tracks because we're almost done. Source number 12 is going to be the real punchline of the shiur. And 13, but we need one more bit of information to get to that point. And that is, let's talk about a different halacha. That's the halacha of chala, hafrashas chala. I get more hafrashas chala, shailas, than I ever thought I would get, living in this neighborhood. And I never really learned chala, lahalacha, or not lahalacha. I started learning it only because I realized I'm getting a lot of shailas in hilchos chala. But shailas and challah come up a lot, I guess, in a neighborhood where people, Baruch Hashem, make their own challahs. It's a wonderful thing. I get what?
Women, I think, are
well, yeah, they ask shailah. I don't know because they're medatic or they do it, it comes up a lot. You know, there are a lot of shailas. Part of the chus, the chus of getting challah is doing something not milchatchil and having to ask the rabbi, which I do now. Fine. You got a challah today. Fine. So, how much challah do you have to, how much dough do you have to mix, to knead with a K, K-N-E-E-A-D, in order to be chayv and challah? So the Rambam says, we don't have to go through all the details. The Rambam says the following. He says, Shnei Kabin, source number 10, second line, Shnei Kabin Pachos Chomesh. And then how do you figure that out? Kav is four lugs, and a lug is four reviuses, and a revius is, as we just said, two fingers by 2 7/10 of a finger. Fine. And then he tells you, if you multiply that, the number of reviuses, as many reviuses are needed to get the shir v'chala, you have a certain amount of fingers, widths. And then look at the last line right at the end of 10. And this measurement, says the Rambam, is 43 and 1/5 of an egg. So the Rambam just told me two things. He told me two equivalent things. He said, these many fingers, is the same volume as 43 and a fifth eggs. Let me say that again. The Rambam told me that if you want to know how much challah, how much dough you need to be mafrish challah, there are two ways to figure that out. Either the displacement of 43 and a fifth eggs, 43 and 1/5 of eggs. Okay, by Omer Lagulgolas, right, I think so. There's another way. You could just take these many, again, without getting into the details, these many fingers high by these many fingers wide by these many fingers long, and that will give you the same number. Stop here. If we stopped here, we just believe the Rambam. He says, I have two equivalent measurements. Either one, if I measure my challah, I can measure my challah based on the displacement of 43 and a fifth eggs worth. Or I could figure out based on the height and width and length of my dough. There's one problem. Comes the Tzlach. Who is the Tzlach? The Noda Yehuda, who wrote the Tzlach, among other Svarim. Says the Tzlach, the Noda Yehuda, I did an experiment. And you know what I found? I found that these two measurements that the Rambam just told me, the measurement of displacement of eggs, 43 and a fifth egg, and the measurement of how many fingers high, that should be equivalent, should get the same amount. Guess what? One of them is double the other one. Let me say that again. The Rambam says there's two ways to figure out a shear of challah. You could either do it in the amount of eggs, or you could do that based on the size of the height of a certain amount of fingers. Says the Tzlach, I did both, and guess what I got? I got that the fingers were twice as much dough or flour as was 43 and a fifth eggs. And therefore, let's look at this very famous Tzlach in source number 12. If there is a famous Tzlach, this is the famous Tzlach. Tzarech ani levarer, Rabbo say, we're 3 weeks before Pesach, we're 3 weeks before the Seder. We also have to figure out what's the Shira of the Kezayis, the Shira HaRavias, to figure out. So it was misparally b'mofes. I believe the best translation of the word mofes, when we think of the word mofes, it means like a wonder. I think it means something you could prove. I think it means an experiment. I clarify with an experiment, shehu shelo kedivri ha-Shulchan Aruch. So whatever we're going to find in this tzlach, because this tzlach turned the halachic world on its head, literally, and turns every frum household on its head, literally, for the Pesach Seder. It's this tzlach. This is the tzlach that we all try to follow and that makes people go nuts. Keep in mind what I underlined, that this tzlach and everything we're about to do from here on, for the next few minutes of the shir, are shelo kedivrei ha-Shulchan Aruch. Why is that? Because the Shulchan Aruch told us what a revius, what a kezayis is. How should the Shulchan Aruch tell us what a kezayis is? It's half a kebetza. So I know what a beitza is. A beitza is a normal average egg. Half of that is a kezayis. Look what the Tzlach says. I did an experiment. Why? Ki be'emes mevur in the second line, b'Shulchan Aruch, shashir kezayis is a chatzi beitza. Said that explicitly. Omnam, but look what I did. L'fishan isparali al pi medida, I did based on my measurements, Shabetzas biyameinu, I am convinced that the eggs in our day must be only chatzi beitza mi beitzim shebehem shi'urei ha-Torah. I am convinced, based on the experiment that I will describe in a moment, that the eggs that we have nowadays were half of the eggs that the Torah referred to. So when the Torah said, you should eat an egg, you know what that means in our eggs? You should eat two eggs. When the Torah said, eat a kezayis, which is a half an egg, what does that mean in our day and age? Eat two kezayisim, eat a whole egg. And let's see the experiment. What? That's what we're going to discuss right now. Kishir Chal again. You might have heard the idea, but this is the source. Shir Chal is Mem Gimel Beitzim V'Chomesh. The amount of Chal, as we described, that the Rambam said, is 43 and one-fifth egg size. That tells us Yamtif Mada Shuhu pint, whatever the pint of ancient Prague was. And I measured it. Vani Mada Timatsasi Shu Pachos Pint. I found it's even a little less than a pint. Fine. So that's one measurement. We displaced, they measured 40, they took eggs. Imagine going to the, you know, asking your wife if she could buy, you know, 4 dozen eggs. And you come back and she says, what do you do with the 4 dozen eggs? You made me some fresh omelets for our anniversary. You want to make some omelets for me? You said, no, I did a displacement test to figure out 43 and one-fifth eggs, how much water it displaces. Let's assume, just for argument's purposes, it displaces 2 liters. Let's just say that. Says the Tzlach, the Nodeh B'Yehuda, the second line of the second paragraph. After I did that and I measured it, let's say it makes 2 liters, Shuv asisi kli hamachzik. Then I made another. I took some clay, maybe. I made a kli. I guess out of clay, out of wood. Hamachzik sheva gudlim, etc. Whatever. I don't want to go into the numbers. The number of finger widths that the Rambam told me is the same exact shear. And you know what I found? I found that it's twice as much. Im kain, look at the underlined lines. This will get the results of his experiment. Im kain, shnei shiurei chala, the two equivalent measurements of how to get a shiurei chala are machishim zasa, contradict one another. The problem is, both of them are each shnei malachim moshe misinai. Kishir mem gil beitzim v'chome shualachim moshe misinai. V'chein shir mikveh, which is how we deduced the number of finger widths that would constitute a shear of chal, is also halacha moshe misinai. So it means I have two opposing halacha moshe misinai, which give me the measurement for how much the shear of chal is. And therefore, there's only one possibility. I'm sorry, there are two possibilities. Val karchach shenishtane bizmanenu. Something changed in our modern day and age. Because I did the experiment. And the experiment with our fingers and our eggs comes out to be off by 50%. There's two possible answers. Oh, Shaha, the last of these underlined lines in this group of underlined lines. Oh, Shaha, agudlim, our thumbs, our finger widths, nisgadlu, v'him agudom, yosim agudlim, shoye b'me'atanam. Either we have finger widths that are twice the size of our forefathers. That means our forefathers were all pygmies. That doesn't sound so gishmak. Oh, Shaha, beitzim niskatnu. Or the chicken eggs that we have are half the size of the ancient chicken eggs. Which one is the right one? Says the Tzlach, and he's going out on a limb. He has to pick one. V'yodua, we know, Shadoros Holchum is Matim. In general, we assume that the generations as we progress are presumably weaker, smaller. And how could it be that our thumbs are twice as big as their thumbs? V'yev shashagudel shalanu, godel yosim agudlim shoyibimechach meshas. If it can't be that our fingers are double, it must be that their eggs were double. Val karchu habeitzim bizmanenu nismatu. Must be that our eggs are half the size of the eggs of the ancient times. That was the experiment that led to this conclusion. Now look what he says. V'kevan shenizbarish habeitzim shalanu niskatnu amachatzisam. Since we've discovered that our eggs are indeed half of what they used to be, guess what else is half of the size of what it used to be? Our olives that we have right here on the table in front of you are half the size of what olives used to be in the olden days. Because we know that an olive is half of a beitza. And can shir zayah shulchatzi beitza hu kebeitza shalanu. The olden day zayas is, which were half of the olden day eggs, are like what for us? An entire egg in our time. What this tzlach just did is he just, whatever number you want to imagine, whatever size you assume a zayas or a kazayas or a kebetza might be, he just said that it really has to be, if you want to know what the Torah was referring to, it's double that. And from here, Rabosai, comes the chumrah that yes, my friends, Mishnah Berurah says, he quotes this tzlach, which is agreed to by the Chasam Sofer, and agreed to by the Gra, believe it or not, that lichatchila, for a healthy person, when you're eating your kezayis, for a mitzvah d'oraisa, I said two things. I said for a healthy person, and for mitzvah d'oraisa. If a person, God forbid, is not healthy, they don't have to be machmir for this. And if a person is not doing a mitzvah d'oraisa, they're only doing d'rabbanan, they don't have to be machmir for this. But for a healthy person, doing a mitzvah d'oraisa, they should assume like this tzlach, that whatever you think a kezayis is, you have to do double that, because that's what a kazayas was in the time of Chazal.
So that means that Mar and Yulo said that you can swallow a beitza, literally, figure the literal beitza at once, and then you can swallow a double beitza.
Baruch Shekivanta, to source number 13, the Mishnah Berurah's question on this tzlach. We're going to have this experiment of the tzlach rejected by what? By an experiment of the Mishnah Berurah. And look at the Mishnah Berurah's experiment. Not exactly what you said, but a similar kind of experiment. You're saying that you're arguing what's called an argument of ad absurdium. Right, Sam, Mr. Bergman? An argument ad absurdium, absurdum? An argument ad absurdum. Like, according to this logic, you take it to the next step. It's that you could swallow, at one point you could have the width of two egg widths in your esophagus simultaneously. That seems a little bit too much. Look at the Be'er Halacha's rejection of this tzlach. But keep in mind, Rabosai, the tzlach, the Nodeb Yehuda, the Godol HaPoskim of his generation, the Nodeb Yehuda, the Chasam Sofer, has a very long tshuva, which I didn't print because it's like 8 pages long. The Godol HaPoskim of his generation. And the Gra, who's the Godol HaPoskim of his generation, gentlemen, each one of them paskin like this, which is a little bit frightening. That means the Gedolei HaPoskim V'ara Achronim did agree to this conclusion that the quantities should be double of whatever you think they should be. whatever Kazai says, it should be double that. But look at the Beir Halacha, it's very fascinating. This is why I titled the Shir Minhag versus Empiricism, because we have what the Minhag is. On the other hand, we have these experiments of the Tzlach, and now you're going to see the experiment of the Mishnah Berurah. You can just imagine the Mishnah Berurah with a lab coat, the Chavetz Chaim with a lab coat, doing the following experiments with his, what do they call those? Those test tubes with the demarcations on them. There's a word. What?
Beaker.
With his beakers and the Chavetz Chaim in his lab in Radin. Look at this. He quotes the Beir Halach, the Mishnah Berurah, quotes the Tzlach. And then he says, of course, that it's going to come out that everything is going to be double. And it's a little bit absurd. And he says in the bottom paragraph, L'aniyus Da'it, he says, it's a tremendous kasha. After kashiyasu hikushi gedola v'chamura, Al-Shireinu. It's really, it's very chamer. It's twice as much as what we assume. But I have a kash on him. I'm in the second to last line on page number 2. Aval neged shitasu yish gamkin kushi chamur. I have a kash against him. What is that? Because there's a Gemara in Yuma that says that if you fill somebody's cheeks, melo lugmav of, right, usually melo lugmav means of half of one cheek. One cheek is flat, one cheek is full. The Gemara Yuma says, what's the amount of a melologma when you fill both cheeks with liquid? It says that for a normal person, it's more than a revius, top of page 3. If we assume that the revius of our generation has to be double that, that means that our cheeks of a normal person in our generation should hold two reviuses. Let's assume, just for argument's sake, Rabbi Yosei, Revius is about 4 ounces. Let's say somewhere between 3.5 and 5, 4 ounces. So that means if that's how it was, that's what we assume Revius is. Let me say this right. Whatever, that means in the olden days, it should be able to hold not 4 ounces, but 8 ounces. Says the Mishnah Berurah, I did an experiment. I did an experiment. I took a whole bunch of people in Radin, a bunch of my yeshiva guys in Radin, and I asked them to please fill their mouths up as much as they can with water and spit it into the beaker. And I measured the amount of the beaker, and guess what? Nobody has that much water in their mouths. And according to the Cheshbon of the Tzlach, they should be able to hold, if the Gemara says that a normal person holds a revius, and we're assuming the people didn't change, but the eggs got bigger or smaller, the eggs got smaller, so that means we should be able to hold 8 ounces in our mouths, and that's not true. The people haven't changed, but no, he just says that that people didn't, that the stuff around has changed. So therefore, based on this experiment, it ends up not like the Tzlach's experiment. The Tzlach experimented with his fingers and said that fingers didn't get smaller, but it must be that the eggs got bigger, that got smaller. Fingers didn't get bigger, so eggs must have gotten smaller. Says Mishnah Berurah, I that can't be because our mouths we don't hold twice as much water in our mouths. So therefore, Lemaisa, look at what he says in the second paragraph on page number 3. When it comes to Doraisa, Kagon, Kazayas Matzah, below Pesach, Bevada Yesh Lahachmir Kedivrayim, you should taka eat a double Kazayas, 2 Kazayasim. And he says, so too for Kiddush Shalaila, which is really, Kiddush is Doraisa, it's true, the wine is only Darabanan. But also Kiddush, which is Doraisa, Gamke Nachon Lachash Lachatchila Divri Hatzlach, Rabosai, when you're going to open up all your books on Pesach night, and all your Haggadahs, and they're going to tell you these measurements that for the mitzvah of matzah and for the mitzvah of afikoman, you should have a 2 kazayasim. What do you mean 2 kazayasim? There's a mitzvah of 1 kazayas. It's because of this tzlach. And we're being machmir for the daraisa for fulfilling the mitzvah of matzah. And when they tell you for kiddush, the first cup should be 5, whatever point, whatever ounces, and all the other cups could be a lot less, why are they telling you that? Because we're being more machmir for daraisas or for things that are more significant based on this tzlach. Obviously, even the Mishnah Berurah holds that this is the right way to do it, but it's mikar hadin, it's not the halacha. We saw together the Shulchan Aruch said not like that. This is not the way. You know, the Shulchan Aruch did not say we have to have change, flip things, make things double. The Shulchan Aruch said just a kezayis is half a kebetza. He didn't say, but which is really like a full betza nowadays. He didn't say that. So this halacha is a chumrah. But look, I want to share with you the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish has some very strong words. We'll finish with this Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish is very strong in his position. He puts a lot of things together. Look at what the Chazon Ish says. Hinei Chazal Ba'alei HaGemara, they're like the Sanhedrin of Chol Yisrael. When they made a decision, when the Gemara made a decision, they're like the Sanhedrin. And they told us how to measure things. And one of the things that they told us is to measure a kebetza, and based on that, a revius, and based on that, that could be based with fingers. Fine. Then the Chazon Ish somehow proves that when you have a contradiction, there are two ways to measure things, either with eggs or with fingers. He says, if you have a contradiction between the measurements, you have the right to choose the one of the fingers, which comes out what? To be the chumrah of the tzlach. Look at the bottom paragraph on page 3. Ze'ira, this measurement or this discovery happened bizman ha-ga'onim, ba'al no de-Bihuda, ve-hagra, shematza, what did they find? That the measurement of fingers and the measurement of eggs is two parallel ways to figure out volumes, einan mishtavos, they're not equal the same amount. And therefore they decided that what happened, the next underlying line, diniskatnu ha-beitzim, the eggs of the modern times have halved. And that's the minhag. Va'alpiyam nagu kol b'nei agola, and it's written in all the svarim that our eggs are smaller. This is the Chazon Ish's conclusion. And he says that this is the psak. If you look at the top of the next page, he says, since this is the halacha that was decided by the Noda Yehuda and the Gra, and I'm not sure who Rav Ephraim Zalman Margolios was, and the Chasam Sofer, right? The Gedoli Haposkim of the 1700s and 1800s, that is like Ki'ilu kavu based in l'chol Yisrael. And this is the halacha. This Chazon Ish Rabosai is telling you that he's my, of course, it's a Chazon Ish here. Chazon Ish holds like this slach, and he holds that that is the binding halacha, that we have to double all the shiurim that we have. And now when we go into the Seder, and we see these large shiurim, we understand a little bit better where they're coming from. And just to come full circle, keep in mind, who is definitively not like this slach? This slach whose whole shita is built on the fact that Beitzim nowadays have changed from what they were used to. That's against the very first source or two where we saw the Gaonim, the source, the third source. The Gaonim, they said, what's the whole purpose of why Chazal decided to set the measurements and affix the measurements based on an egg and a zayas in order to teach you that it will be constant for all of history? And what is the tzlach saying? The eggs are half of the size of what they used to be. Meaning it's totally not constant. So you have the Shulchan Aruch and the Gaonim against the tzlach, Rabosai, Halach Lamaisa, as is the Minhag, for Dinin, as the Mishnah Berurah Paskins, which I didn't quote for you here, the Mishnah Berurah in the Simen, the very funky Simen, that talks about what is the shear of kezayis. The Mishnah Berurah's conclusion is for a Darai says, you should be machmir for this slach to have a double kezayis, a double revius. And for things that are derabanan, one can be mekel and follow the minhag of minhag ha'olam and the Shulchan Aruch and the Gaon, which was that a kezayis is a kezayis, a kebetza is a kebetza. We should be zochah to fulfill all of Hashem's mitzvahs properly.
Anybody wants the actual volume of the kezayis?